The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0. Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
Hi there. Welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. My guest now is Allie Legg. She is an Army veteran, a community leader. She's also the mom of five children, little Jelly. She's the co-founder of Moms for Freedom, which is an advocacy group dedicated to championing the basic rights of all families. And she spoke recently at the Moms for America press conference that was held on the steps of the on the steps of the National School Board Association, the NSBA. Thank you. And she spoke very strongly. In fact, I quoted her in my recent TV show that dealt with some of the outrage that we're seeing from parents against their school boards, which seem to be these disembodied almost entities that are dictating, teaching children terrible, bad things. I don't know how to put it any more gently. Allie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So you ran for school board, correct?
Well, I am currently running. Yes, I am.
And how's that going?
It's going pretty well. I have a lot of community support, which is not surprising. I've educated our community. So on their constitutionally protected rights and how important it is to get involved in local politics for the last 5 years. So I'm not surprised by the amount of support I have.
You're in Hillsborough County. That's in Florida. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So do you find that people, well, I don't know if you have a comparison to make, but people seem to be more engaged in Florida, as what I've experienced since moving here recently.
I believe so. We have a really great governor, and he is really fighting for the rights of the people, which is what our elected officials are supposed to do. They're supposed to protect our rights, not dictate them. So I do believe that 2020 was an eye opener for a lot of people. I believe that mostly parents have kind of taken a step back because we've grown up to innately just trust our educators. But now, being that 2020, you know, had our eyes open when they decided to remote learn everyone, we were able to hear real time what was happening in our classrooms.
What did you hear?
Well, for example, my 12-year-old, he's now 13, was told that the Constitution can be overridden in times of emergency, which is false. It's a false statement that was given to him by a history teacher.
And this is somebody who's actually, you know, qualified. I'm putting that in air quotes for people on radio, qualified to teach.
Right.
This is, of course, this is my problem. You know me, I advocate for home education. I don't think that children belong in institutions, and I'm working at great lengths to convince people of that. But that's the problem, is you don't know exactly who the teachers are.
Right.
You know, we vet our babysitters. We vet our cleaning people. We vet people who come into our homes. But you're actually turning your children over every day to people who you haven't had a chance to vet because you trust that the government vetted them for you.
100%. It's very scary. And now they're keeping parents out of schools, and they've been keeping us out of schools for the last 2 years. And yet they're upset at us when we find out what they are actually teaching. And we go to them and tell them, this is not okay. You cannot teach my child this. And yet they're being told to call us domestic terrorists, which, as an Army veteran, I take complete offense to. I mean, my husband did 20 years. He's a combat veteran. I come from a long line of military personnel. So, you know, to be called a domestic terrorist for going to your school board to express, you know, the dislike of what they're teaching your own child is very disheartening.
Am I going too far when I say that they are domestic terrorists?
No, ma'am. I believe, especially if you're trying to teach children pornographic material, you are participating in pedophilia, and that's a federal offense. It's a felony to do that. So these school boards that are refusing to remove those books are essentially committing a crime, and they should be held accountable for it.
Right. But going as far as to say domestic terrorists, the reason that I am suggesting that is that they are teaching things that are antithetical to the Constitution, right?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. They are teaching communism and socialism, and those are not things that we are founded on. Those are not things that are protected by our Constitution. They're actually saying that we are a democracy, which we're not. We are a constitutional republic. We are the only country in the entire world that has documents that protect its citizens, which is why we are the beacon of hope for everyone, why everyone leaves their home country to come to America.
In fact, they say that the First Amendment is only as strong as the Second Amendment, right?
Yes. I mean, there's reasons why they're put there. So it's to protect ourselves from overreaching government.
But when you have the government teaching you your entire life long that the government is there to protect you and to take care of you and to handle things for you, and that the government actually has the power to do things, I'm constantly shocked. I get on the airplane and I hear it is a federal law that you must wear a mask. And I'm like, but as far as I know, they didn't pass that law.
No, it's a false statement. And yet people don't realize that. This is why I'm running for school board, because education in this country has completely failed generations of Americans. And we have older people now that believe that when they walk through the airport and they hear that it's a federal law to wear a mask in an airport, they're like, oh, okay. But they don't realize that laws get passed through the legislature, and that never happened.
So right. It never happened.
It's very concerning.
But the other thing is, it's a federal mandate. What's a mandate? Where is in the Constitution, where is it written, the definition right. of a mandate, and who has the authority to proclaim a mandate, and all of that stuff? Where does that come
exactly.
from?
Exactly. And states they're sovereign, so they don't have to follow federal law, especially when it's mandate. They don't have to follow federal mandates is what my point is. But the fact that people don't understand this is an issue.
No, but this is a really good point. Because the federal mandate shouldn't apply to the citizens. It should, in a sense, right?
Right.
It applies to the states.
Yes.
But the states aren't under the federal mandate, because they would just say, heck no. In fact, the governor of Tennessee said, no more COVID stuff. No more restrictions. We're done.
Yep. So federal mandates are essentially only for federal employees and for the federal government. It's not for states.
And OSHA has now just said that they will not be enforcing the federal mandates
right.
well, on good. The vaccine.
Right. That's good. Because, I mean, OSHA has been silent through this entire thing.
But Allie, the problem is lying is okay.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
And the reason that lying is okay, Allie, is because in our schools, we teach survival of the fittest mm-hmm. and evolution. So lying is okay, because there's no more morality being taught in our schools.
Right.
Our morality is inherited as moral capital from the previous generation. So maybe right. your parents taught you that lying is not okay, but maybe they didn't. Mm-hmm. In which case, for you, lying's okay. And honestly, for the left, because they have, by and large, and I make these broad generalizations, I'm trying not to vilify people, but there are a lot of villains out there. There are a lot of leftists out there who go, it's okay to lie if, you know, in the end, you get what you want, which because you want the good, right? You just justify it by, well, I want what's good for people. And what's good for people is, you know, that they wear masks on the airplane. So we'll just lie and tell them that they have to. And most people will comply, and then we'll kick off the ones that don't comply. I was just on the phone with somebody today. He said, well, I'm driving because I got kicked off my last flight from Dallas and I'm just so sick of flying. And I went, okay.
Oh, no.
I mean.
And then they're not even recognizing exemptions, which. There are always exemptions to a rule, especially when it comes to covering your face. I mean,
there are no exemptions, because everybody is exactly the same in the communist utopia that we seek.
It's terrible. It really is. It's terrible.
You know what they do to people who aren't the same in the communist countries? If you can't conform, you die.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a slow, painful death. They might send you to the gulag to die, or to Auschwitz to die. But you die, or the killing fields of Cambodia.
Yeah.
So that's what we're up against. And I think it's high time that we recognize it. So tell me more about your run for school board and what you hope to accomplish.
So what I hope to accomplish is just, honestly, I really just want to encourage people everyday people to run for office, because you don't have to have a specialized degree or specialized, you don't have to be a lawyer or anything like this. You can really just be a citizen that wants to create change in your backyard. And that's so important that we have regular people run for any office, because right now we have career politicians that only have the special interests of their special interest groups or their lobbyists that campaign for them or that donate to their campaigns that are running our countries, our local government and our federal government. So when we have people that are of the people, from the people, that decide to run for office for the people to make change, it's a lot easier because we are more connected with what everyday problems are. And what I want to achieve, my vision for our school board here in Hillsborough County, is a RISE movement. And what I mean by that is I want to restore integrity and accountability to our board, because we have board members that like to violate law, statutes, which is a part of their bylaws and a part of their job description, to make sure that they follow Florida statute. And they're not doing that. They've repeatedly shown that they don't care. I want to improve academic excellence and just basically get back to the basics of teaching our core curriculum and American excellence, what it means to be an American, to have American pride, and secure financial oversight. So we can't do much of anything without having a balanced budget. And right now we are the seventh largest district in the country, and we have one of the largest budgets, and our budget is $3.3 billion. And we are $70 million in debt right now. 70. And that's worse than what we were when we started 2 years ago. It's insane. And my last point is I want to empower families, educators, and our staff. So right now, our families are feeling locked out of our schools. They're feeling disconnected between teachers and their students. They feel like they can't express how they want their children to be taught. They can't tell them, you know, listen, I don't agree with what you're teaching my child. This is not okay. And yet we're being shut out and told that we're domestic terrorists for even doing that. Our educators feel disempowered by their administrators, and they're not allowed to teach certain things. They're not allowed to teach their classrooms and their children that are in their classrooms the way that they are supposed to be learning. So that's a disconnect. And our staff, as far as cafeteria workers, janitors, bus drivers, they all feel left out of the conversation. So I want to be able to work collaboratively with everybody in order for us to make a change, a very good change in our backyard in Hillsborough County.
How many people on the board?
There are 6-7 people on the board.
And how many?
We have 2 countywide seats and the rest are district.
Okay. And how many people are up for, how many seats are up for election this time?
Only 3. So the first two are, the first two are Republican, and the countywide seat that I'm going for, she's a Democrat.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you're not going to even have a majority when you get elected.
No. But the point is the difference between, I feel like, on the people of our board right now is there are some people that want complete government control, and they want the board to solely control what happens with their children. They have literally said at their board meetings that parents don't know what's best for their children.
Well, and the governor of Virginia just said that parents have no right to dictate how their children are being taught or what their children are being taught.
Which is completely crazy to me.
I mean, let me ask you, like, that just... Then what is the role of the parent? You don't get a say. You're not raising your child. The school is raising your child, parents. So just back the heck off, right?
Our children belong to us. Parental rights are inherent. And in order for parental rights to be stripped from a parent, it has to go through the judicial system, through juvenile court. And that has not happened. No charges have been filed on any parent in any county of any state to strip away parental rights. So when they say things like that, they are actually violating law. It's not even just state law. It's federal law. You cannot strip away parents' rights without just cause.
Is that?
It is.
I wonder if it's somehow actionable to sue the governor of Virginia for that statement.
Oh, absolutely. Probably. I'm sure.
It's a false...
Even if it doesn't go anywhere, he's still sued for it. So, I mean, it's the Trump. What was it when he was? Oh, my goodness. Impeached. It's the Trump impeachment scheme where, you know, it didn't matter if they won the impeachment or not. He will still be known as the impeached president.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Right.
Whether you win or lose, they're still sued. So
if somebody would bring that suit, I mean, that's
I encourage I mean, it.
That is really the problem that we're up against, is there are a lot of lies and people know that they're lying and they don't care.
Right. Well, and I do believe that our press conference with Moms for America helped the new governor-elect of Virginia win, or Alexandria, governor of Virginia, Youngkin, to win. Because we all stood up there and said that parents know what's best for their kids, and it brought parents out, and they voted. They let their voices be heard, and that's what's important. 2022 and 2024 are going to be huge years for elections.
And this is kind of interesting. Youngkin didn't win by such a large margin, so I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. But people need to get off their butts. And I will tell you, while I think it's fantastic that you're running for school board, the school boards will be a very slow change process. And meanwhile, we are raising little socialists from our schools, and there aren't enough people running for school board. I know one of the passion projects that you have is to inspire other people to run for school board. We need conservatives to sit on school boards. We need Christians to sit on school boards and start to realign the teachings in the schools. I know a gal in Naples who has managed to get Planned Parenthood out of the schools, and she teaches. She's in the schools with an abstinence program, because let's face it, abstinence is a great way to avoid sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancy. But apparently, because that's a moral choice, you're not allowed to teach it. Well, she found a workaround. And so there are other ways to get it done. One of the ways to vote with your feet is to take your kids out of the school. Now, I know that starves the schools that you want to serve for money, and they're already in debt. But the fact is, if you don't cut off the supply, then you're not going to get the change that you seek. Do you know what I mean? It's like a drug addict.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I homeschool my 8-year-old because he is on the spectrum, and it's easier for us to work with him at home on one-on-one because he doesn't get his needs met in school. He needs a little bit more one-on-one than many other children. So it's easier for us, and it works for us. But I do agree with that. And there are a lot of people that are pulling their children from our local public schools because of the curriculum, because of, the restrictions that's happening. There is a movement, and I do believe that homeschool is coming back. So,
yes. Well, it's doubled in the past year. So that's any indication. So, and if you have any friends, if you have any acquaintances or people who are embarking on the homeschool journey, send them my way.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I'll tell them a thing or two. All right, Allie Legg, thank you so much. Where can people go to support you?
You can go to AllieMarieLegg.com. So it's VOTEALYMARIELEGGE.com to sign petitions or to donate. And you can donate from anywhere. You don't have to live here in Florida to donate to the cause. But I do want to encourage everyone to, run for office if you feel called to do so. Doesn't matter what office it is, but school board is where it's at. That's where they're indoctrinating kids, and that's how you get communism. That's how you change the culture of a country. So it's very important. Vote AllieMarieLegg.com.
Thanks so much for coming on. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. We'll be right back after a quick break. Hi, this is Sam. I just want to share with you a couple of efforts for patriots to get behind. First of all, Kevin and I have discovered a great American company that supports our traditional values and also the work that we're doing to rescue the culture from the lies of the left. Go check out Nutramedics.com for great health and wellness products, like my favorite, the stress support kit. That is my favorite. It just helps to sort of keep me even keeled, because there's a lot of anxiety producing things in the marketplace of ideas these days. Go to sorbo.nutramedics.com or just go to Nutramedics.com. Use the code SORBO at checkout. You'll get 20% off. And right now they're running a really great special just in time for Christmas. It also makes great Christmas gifts. Then there's also buyusmade@protonmail.com. Go email me there, buyusmade@protonmail.com. I found a source for American-made products that I really truly like, that I want to share with you there. And then also schoolhouserocked.com/Sam is where you can go and see my new documentary about home education and the whole home education movement. You're going to learn some stuff, and you'll be encouraged if you go watch that movie. Go to schoolhouserocked.com/Sam. Don't forget to use my name when you go there, because that's how it's done or whatever. Anyway, and then finally, SherwoodTV.com/Sam is the doctor that I use to get me through COVID. And I'm sure that he can help you. He's helped over 9,000 people beat COVID without going into the hospital. So Sherwood.tv/Sam is the code you use. And he's all over the whole nutrition thing and keeping you healthy, getting healthy, keeping you healthy. So you can try that out also. Thanks so much for helping to support my show. All of these endeavors help support my show and the work that we do here at Sorbo Studios and at The Sam Sorbo Show. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Sam Sorbo Show. I am here with Nicole Solas. She is a stay-at-home mom, but that's not all. Nicole Solas is being sued by the teachers' unions, for asking questions about critical race theory. And I thought, hey, let's get her on the show. She also appeared at the Moms for March press conference outside the NSBA that I just did my epic TV show about that. And I quoted her. She has a 5-year-old daughter, a 2-year-old son. So she's in the thick of it and she's fighting the teachers union. Welcome to the program, Nicole Solas.
Hi, Sam. Thanks a lot for talking to me.
I mean, you are a warrior and you drew fire, which I just, you know, and here's the thing, folks. She had no idea she was going to draw fire. All she said was, hey, I want to see what's going on. And they said no. And she said, but I'm allowed to see what's going on. And they were like, yeah, we don't want to show you. And so she went to FOIA and did a FOIA act, right?
Yeah, I called my principal to ask if they were teaching critical race theory and gender theory. And she did answer in the affirmative. She told me different practices they do. Like they don't call the children boys and girls. Like they teach children not to use gendered terminology in the classroom. And then with critical race theory, they ask 5-year-olds what could have been done differently on Thanksgiving, which is going to shame them for their American heritage, right? It's like as if something went wrong on the first Thanksgiving. And so when I asked...
You know they were giving thanks to God, right?
Ooh,
that's
right.
Terrible.
How bad could we have done that differently, right? And so they told me that if I wanted more information about this, to submit public records requests. And when I did, they threatened to sue me because they thought that I submitted too many. And yet they refused to answer my questions in any other way. So it really was a setup. Send a message.
They didn't think that you submitted too many. They told you to submit the requests because they thought for sure you'd go, well, I don't know how to do that. I guess I'll quit here. That's why.
Right.
And then when
right.
you submitted as many as you did, it didn't matter. When you submitted the first one, that got them angry because now you're asking questions. And you know, before you ask a question, you always have to ask permission to ask a question. And you didn't ask permission. You forgot to raise your hand, Nicole.
Right. They very much patronize parents and bully them. And this legal process, this public records request process was really meant to scare me away. It was meant to exhaust me. And they were using it to evade my questions. They didn't want to answer them. And I actually found an email from the superintendent saying so much because the superintendent wrote to the school committee and said, oh, Nicole Solas is asking all these questions about our equity work. So I'm going to tell her to submit public records requests instead. So, you know, they were all conspiring and like panicking because a mom is asking questions.
They conspired against you. Is that like, I don't know, is that actionable? There's the school board member, Jan Eric something in Arizona. And he was keeping a dossier on 57 parents in his district. And he had them like categorized in folders with photos that his father took clandestinely. They didn't even know they were being photographed. And the school board finally, they just voted for him to step down, but he's refusing. But I wonder if there's like something to be done about school board members who write nasty emails about parents behind their back and try to keep information from parents.
Well, you know, I think there might be something there when it comes to that, especially if they're working together to subvert the public records process or use the public records process against parents. I actually met Amanda Ray in Arizona, who was targeted by Jan on the school board. And, it's just like so creepy and psychotic that school board members are coming after us like this. In my case, my school board even hired a PR firm to smear me in the national media. And this came out when the vice chair of my school board at the next school committee meeting was trying to throw everyone else under the bus and said, well, you know, I was just doing what I was told when I insinuated that Nicole Solas was racist and when I talked about this national racist organization, which is really a fantastic organization called Parents Defending Education. So the good part about all this is that when you push back, you will find that your school board is a paper tiger and they fold. And at this point, retaliation is more of, it's more fake news, right? Because they want you to think that if you are retaliated against, you can't overcome it. Oh, you're going to be smeared and everyone's going to ostracize you. But in my case, that's not true. I have more friends and support than I've ever had in my life. And other parents who are unhappy with ideological indoctrination should know that when you push back, you're going to be rewarded with allies and a community that you didn't know existed. So I just hope other parents are encouraged by that.
Right. Not only that, you'll be rewarded by knowing that you're doing the right thing and keeping hold of your integrity, which is also a reward in and of itself.
Yes. Even if I didn't get the support I'm having, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to send my kids to this school. I have to ask questions and I don't really care if anyone doesn't like me. All I care about is my kids. So that's another way to look at it.
Fair enough. And I support you in that. In fact, I very much support you not sending your children to any school because the schools are getting it wrong. And if you have any doubts, watch my TV show on Epic TV, because I go into depth about how the schools are getting it wrong. And what's amazing is that we still have people like you. And I had a previous guest, Allie Legg, who you know, I'm sure. And these women who are standing up and saying, no, hold on. No. By and large, they're Christian people because Christians are taught that they have intrinsic worth. And if you're not taught that, if you're taught that there's some sort of communist utopia that we're all going for, that your only worth is found within the group, within the Borg, within the Communist Party, then you won't stand up and speak for yourself and defend your children from government encroachment. But we have people like you and Allie and Kimberly Fletcher of Moms for America and Tina Deskovich from Moms for Freedom. And we're lucky to have them and we ought to be supporting them. So how can people get behind what you're doing? And by the way, before we move on to that, sorry, I do have to ask, the school board hired a PR firm. Whose money did they use to hire the PR firm to pay them?
They used my money. They used other taxpayers' money. And when I requested public records to know, you know, what exactly that relationship was, they told me that it was private. It was at least non-public and that it was anticipating litigation. And therefore, it was exempt from public records law, which is just insane to have it turned against you like that.
It was anticipating litigation?
Right, because they
That's
put my
stupid. I'm sorry. No. So yeah. I can go murder somebody, but not disclose anything because I'm anticipating litigation against the bad thing that I just did. What?
Yeah, you know, they use the public records exemptions to withhold public information from people. You'll find that they'll say, oh, you can't have that because something's private, when really the way you requested it, you're not requesting private information. And they're taking advantage of that because then you have to again file a complaint with the attorney general. That takes 6 months. You have to argue with attorneys and you're not an attorney. I mean, in my case, I am a lawyer. I don't practice, but they're using the process as a punishment. And you know, really the answer to that is to have everything posted online. Parents should not even have to submit public records requests to see all the things that your kids are learning. But I'm hoping that we're going to start to move the conversation like with the anti-CRT movement that way, because public school is never going to come clean. And we need to make them come clean with legislation that says that they have to be transparent and post all of their curriculum and materials and activities online.
That should frankly be part of their bylaws. I mean, that should have been one of the foundational tenets of the school board, is that you are instituted to be transparent. Like that's your job, is to offer transparency to parents.
Yeah. I mean, and this is not a new idea. You know, you have your whole health record online and a health portal. The entire Library of Congress is online. Schools are going to say, oh, it's just so hard. It's so much work. Make teachers post everything. Well, welcome to, you know, the current year where everything is online. And if you're not doing it, then you're doing it because you have something to hide.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about the teachers, right? I'm talking about the boards. What are you doing with the money? That should be available online. It's our money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, they'll post some stuff online, but then you'll see that, you know, you have to be requesting documents. You can't just like open up your browser and see on the website, okay, they just signed this contract. They just did that. They make you work for it.
So let me ask you, and I ask a number of guests this, and it's just my curiosity. Where do you see all of this heading? Because some people see revolution. Some people see like there's going to be a big problem. And other people say, no, we can still steer the ship. It's not the Titanic. The iceberg is in the distance and we can still steer away from it. What do you think?
Well, I think with public school, it's irredeemable. I think we need school choice legislation that funds students, not systems. And if we don't get that, I think there's going to be a mass exodus from public school and they're going to defund themselves. They're always saying that school choice wants to defund them. They're in charge. If they want to improve themselves and get people back in, they won't be defunded. People can still choose public school. And then with the Department of Justice targeting parents as domestic terrorists, I do think that if they act on that, you know, now we know that they have files on parents like me. If they act on that and they start arresting people without basis, that's going to spark a civil war. You know, you come to my house, you go to Allie Legg's house, you go to Amanda Ray's house as the FBI, you want to start asking us questions. People are not going to be happy with that. And I think that could alone spark revolution because that's just going too far.
And then we're up against the government.
Yeah, I mean, we're hitting a tipping point because, you know, we're working with mask mandates, vaccine mandates. Now we have public school indoctrinating kids. It's like, how much can we take all at once? I hope it doesn't get that far. But, you know, once you mobilize the highest level of law enforcement in the country against moms who really are the pillars of society, we're raising the next Americans. I don't know where we go from there.
Yeah, how dare you raise Americans? You should be raising Chinese children or, you know, Guadalajara right. children or whatever.
Exactly.
All right. So how can people find you and support you and at least give you some props?
My Twitter account is Nicoletta0602. It's Nicoletta0602. And I also want to point people to other organizations like Parents Defending Education, Southern Legal Foundation, the Goldwater Institute, which is representing me with this teacher union lawsuit against me. And be sure to check out legalinsurrection.com. They're the ones that broke my story and they're looking for new parents to showcase that are fighting critical race theory.
Yeah, they do great work. So yeah. People should go check out legalinsurrection.com anyway. Nicole, it's so good to see you, to know that you're out there. I'm sorry that you managed to step in this morass, but I'm thrilled that you're the one who did it because you're strong and you're willing to take this fight all the way to the win, let's say. So thank you for doing that. And hold this school board to account. Did you see this video of, this is a little while ago, there's a school board in Pennsylvania. And the head of the school board was just telling parents, no, you're done. You're done. Stop talking. You're done. We're not listening to you.
You know, it's so shameful because that's not what public meetings are supposed to be in America. And even if they say, oh, we have a legal right to do that, well, you don't have to do that. You can still be American and let people exercise their freedom of speech. So it's an absolute shame.
I think that's really the problem that we're not sort of, that's the elephant in the room. The main thing that we're not addressing. Is you say it's an American value, but it isn't anymore because we've allowed our moral capital to be used up to the extent that we have communist values in this nation and communist, you know, totalitarian or evolutionary, survival of the fittest, bullying, whatever you want to call it. It's the opposite of the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is do unto others. Now it's no longer that. I win, whatever I say goes. If I have some power, I'm going to wield it like a bat and you might get hit kind of thing.
And yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. I think what we should remember is that it's a very seductive philosophy for young idealistic minds who believe that communist ideas are for the good of everyone else and that, you know, you should adopt them because it's somehow humane. They're manipulating our kids to believe that communism is a moral and humane philosophy when really American values are really the ones that are the moral ones and the humane ones.
Yeah, very well said. Thanks so much for coming on, Nicole Solis. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. I'll be back after a quick break. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. I'm Sam Sorbo, your host, and I am now joined by Kate Daly. She is a nationally syndicated radio show host, and I've known her for a little while. And she just recently starred in a video that went viral about how her husband nearly died, and she is now helping people to avoid the same near fate or the same, terrible situation that she just went through. Kate Daly, welcome to the program.
Hi. So nice to be with you, Sam. You look gorgeous.
So the video went viral, but let's assume that people haven't seen it. And by the way, we're doing video, but we're also on my radio show and podcast, which is only audio. So describe for us Maybe start with what actually happened and then go into the video if there's a difference in what the video talks about in a little bit.
You bet. Oh, yeah. I can kind of slim it down for you, too. But thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. The viral video, over 3 million people have seen it. And my husband was ill with pneumonia for about a week. And his oxygen got down to about 79. Kind of scary, 79. Yeah. So we went into the hospital for some basic oxygen. I thought we'll probably be there at night and then head home. We're used to dealing with pneumonia on our own. Of course, when we got in there, they immediately said it was COVID pneumonia. I mean, didn't even hardly look at it. It was just COVID pneumonia. And that puts you on a different track in the hospital. You're immediately swept over to the ICU. And the reason that I'm telling people about this situation is we refused their protocol. They have three drugs and a ventilator. That's their protocol across the nation. I was in a state, fortunately, where I could go in with him. A lot of states you can't go in. But I was in a state where you could accompany him in. And the second they found out it was COVID, they were pushing the three drugs and the ventilator within the first 30 minutes we were there. And I thought, you know, I've done a lot of research, probably over 6,000 hours of research just on COVID alone. I've done actually about 1,200 hours on the air on just COVID and the vaccine, the shot. I can't call it a vaccine, but the shot. And they were pushing these things that I had read about, we had talked about, I knew what they were, and I knew they were dangerous. So I told them no, flat out no. And they said I was the first person to ever say no at the hospital. And I said, after 19 months, I'm the first person, because this just happened in August. And they said, yeah, you're the first one. We've never had somebody say no. And I said, well, you're going to give him vitamin C, 10,000 units a day, and vitamin D. I'm on the phone with my frontline doctors, you know, telling me this is what you need to do. So vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and budesonide, which Dr. Bartlett brought up about a year and a half ago in Texas. And so I said, I want these things. And they said, that's not our protocol. And I said, I don't care. I don't care whether that's your protocol. You're going to do this. I do not want him on those drugs. I don't want him on remdesivir. He's not going on a ventilator. We're refusing a ventilator. It's not necessary. And so within 3 days, or actually within the first 25 hours of just saying vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, high load, okay, vitamin C, so it's intravenous, and budesonide, we switched the steroid to budesonide, like Dr. Bartlett had said, he was doing fine. He was watching Netflix. He was eating Thai food. He was doing amazing. And the doctor came in and said, he's doing better than anyone on the floor. And I said, then learn from this. You're over-treating, you're creating a complete circus to treat this, and all it is treating it like any other respiratory, really. Like any other thing that you would see with the lungs, because respiratory.
So, hold on, so you said budesonide, which is a steroid. Mm-hmm. And yeah. What the steroid does is it masks, it doesn't mask the symptoms, it abates some of the symptoms without actually addressing the cause of the symptoms.
Right.
But what happens is when somebody is experiencing those symptoms, which then become pneumonia, right?
Uh-huh.
If you can remedy some of the symptoms, then the body can focus more on healing than on dealing with the inflammation or the fluid in the lungs or what have you. And so really you're helping the body deal with the disease rather than just trying to deal with the disease yourself, which is what some of their protocols do. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, some of the drugs that they have, like remdesivir, cause other problems. So, yeah, you might be taking care of some of the COVID, mm-hmm. but you're causing the kidney to shut down. And that's like a dangerous scenario. In fact, I've read the reports where remdesivir killed over 50% of patients in a clinical trial. They had to stop the clinical trial, and that still is the drug of choice. So I have to ask you, because you said they immediately diagnosed him as COVID pneumonia. Uh-huh. Did he not have COVID pneumonia? Was it just regular pneumonia?
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of debatable, Sam, because when I saw the x-rays, I took a photo of them and I looked up x-rays from years prior just to see the difference, right? If there was a difference. And there was no difference. I mean, I know I'm not an x-ray tech, but it was very visible that they were exactly like any other pneumonia before the year 2000. And on his medical report, it actually said pneumonia, likely possible COVID at the very bottom under the nose. And when all was said and done, but the entire time we were in there, see, it put you on the track to the ICU, the intensive care unit, because the hospitals made policy changes where somebody like my husband would have all automatically been in a regular room on a high flow machine. Well, now what they do is they stick them all in ICU, and then they say, well, the hospital's full. They're all in ICU. And they're the ones that made these changes. The other thing that happened that people should know is the PrEP Act from 2005 was silently changed, very quietly changed February 6th in the year 2020. This was before they even gave COVID its real name. And they said, we are going to tell the hospitals in the PrEP Act that you are relieved from all liability if you follow all the COVID protocols and you stick to it and you do not deviate from it. Even beyond malpractice, you will absolutely be removed from tort liability. It's now in the PrEP Act under COVID. So they added this, and all the hospitals, this is why they cling to it so fiercely and why you don't even have a voice in the hospital. When you get to the hospital, you should be filling out what's called a patient bill of rights. Patient bill of rights lets them know, because they have to give this to you legally, this document, that you get a say in the care of your loved one. But what they're doing is they're saying it's so contagious that you aren't allowed in the hospital and they get to do their protocol without you there. So they can say, well, and this has happened in letters to me all over the country since about 3 million people saw that video. They were going into the hospital and they were demanding, no, I want vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, let's undertreat this. And the hospitals were refusing and kicking them out of the hospital and saying, you can't be in here. And then they were putting them on a ventilator without their consent. And so people are trying to go in to ask for these things. And my biggest message now is, ever since that came out and Dr. Artis has been speaking about this, and so many others have added their stories of their loved ones dying, now the hospitals are doubling down. Do you know they removed, I know two hospital chains that removed vitamins, high dose vitamins from their pharmacy, so the doctors can't even ask for them. So now they're doubling down. You don't have a chance in the hospital to change their protocol. Plus they'll stick to it for liability.
So
it's crazy.
Right. Because you went through the idea that they are not liable if they pursue that protocol, but they do carry liability if they don't pursue that protocol. But who's
right.
So if they're not liable, then who is liable? Like, what about a family that's underserved, misserved, and they lose a loved one?
Nothing. You have no recourse. In fact, they're buttoned up so tight now that honestly, Sam, centralized medicine has now taken over. And now we get to see the ugly effects of the NIH telling the hospitals what to do in a blanket form across the nation. And they're following it. They're not budging from it for the liability. And it's the patient and the patient's family that get to suffer now. So really and truly, this is so treatable. I tell people all the time, find a high dose intravenous IV clinic in your area. They're even mobile. And you can actually, the second you get sick within those first few days, you can get ivermectin and you can also get high dose vitamin C, D, and zinc. And it will immediately help your immune system. On my website, katedalyradio.com, we actually help people get ivermectin. I have 4 different ways to get it. It's not hard to get. And also, we're really following the frontline doctor's protocol. They're brilliant. And if you can follow that from the very beginning, if you don't have ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, get quercetin. Quercetin, when you take 3 or 4 of those, when you kind of triple up the dose or double the dose, it kind of acts like hydroxychloroquine and a little bit like ivermectin because it goes after the lungs. It actually really kind of goes in and helps the lungs. And these are over the counter. NAC is another one that they started to try to kick out of the system in July. NAC is a wonderful supplement that can help with immune. And so you can take it every day. When you get sick, you double up on it. But NAC and quercetin are really important. And if you can't get to a high dose like vitamin C IV clinic, then take liposomal C. And liposomal C goes through the blood-brain barrier and delivers the vitamin C in high doses. You can take high doses of it without getting the digestive problems. So it's just so easy to deal with. If people would do this from home, you could avoid going to the hospital altogether and not be in a mess where you have to hire a lawyer to try to get the hospital to listen to you.
So all I'm hearing while I'm listening to you is I'm hearing the stamp that YouTube's going to put on this video that this is misinformation blah, blah, blah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to Kate Daly. And you can go to katedaly.com for more information on all of that stuff. But I'm going to talk to her. Kate Daly Show. Sorry. I want to talk to her about this, the recent leaked emails from the governor of Minnesota that apparently they inflated, they tried to inflate the COVID scare so that more people would get in line. And it comes with some interesting coinkydinks, as they say. So stay tuned, or rather tune in on sorbos.locals.com, which is where the second part of this interview will air. Sorbos.locals.com. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. I'll be right back. Well, hello there. Welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. My guest now is Frank Panico. He's been a filmmaker for many years. He's currently living in Florida, not too far from me, actually. And he recently launched his most recent film, Systematic Deception, which, full disclosure, I have some part in, although I'm not in the movie because it's a racist movie. Right, Frank?
Right. It's racist. You know, the one that's making the film is Puerto Rican and Italian and not black. So it must be racist. Although the producers are all black and all the interviewees are black, but I'm sure the left will be coming out soon enough, you know, because we're showing the other side of the story. We're showing righteous black Christian Republicans instead of the ones the lamestream media like to always show you.
There you go. So the film is called Systematic Deception. It's a play on the misnaming of systemic racism, right? Mm-hmm. And so what is the focus? Let's just talk about the focus of the film. Talk about the stars in the film, the people that you've interviewed, and what sort of prompted you to put this film together.
Right. Well, someone reached out to me about 6 or 8 months ago, Linnell Babbage, and she's now associate producer, and said she wanted to do a film that exposes the way that Democrats lie to the black community. And she also said, you know, my daughter, Lisa Babbage, did a book called The Black History Bible. So it could be somewhat inspired by that. So the film is inspired by the Black History Bible. And I had just finished up, you know, the project you and Kevin were a part of, Leaders for Life, that people just love. So I was actually open. And I love the idea of exposing, you know, it's all about take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. So that's what I'm doing through this film. I'm exposing the way the Democrats lie to the black community. But it's much more than that. You know, they lie in many ways. They lie pretending that they're the black people's best friends, when in actuality, they're the ones that started KKK. They're the ones that were Jim Crow. They lie, like, you know, manipulating words with their Words for Warrior. They say reproductive health care, and it's actually reproductive annihilation. So the film touches base on abortion. It touches base on politics and religion, how it should be spoken of. It touches base on the farce of Black Lives Matter. And it's all told through the eyes of all these wonderful, righteous African-American people who live in America, like Colonel Allen West, Alveda King, Kim Klasick, C.L. Bryant, who's a producer now. So it's really great. People really like in the film a lot. So
and you've been doing interviews on Newsmax and OAN. And has Fox had you on? Has CBS had you on?
No, not yet. You know, I'm sure CBS and MSNBC, I'm going to be like the Antichrist to them, because I'm exposing everything. I'm exposing all the lies through this film. So,
yeah, you've managed to piece it together very well. Let's just walk through, if you don't mind, maybe some of the numbers. Do you know the proportion of aborted babies that are black babies these days?
Yes. Well, actually, yeah. And this all comes out through black people saying it. So in America, black women are 7% of the population, yet they account for over 40% of the abortions. And, you know, abortion clinics are mostly placed in poor black neighborhoods. Hillary Clinton praised Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, says it was someone she admired greatly. So the Democrats are all about abortion, and they're all about division. They're trying to divide us, have us fight. And those are tactics of the evil one. I said that in the last interview. Abortion and division are tactics of the evil one. And those are also tactics of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, you're very motivated by your faith, which is Roman Catholicism, and that comes out in everything that you do. So we talked about Planned Parenthood. Let's talk about the Jim Crow laws and sort of the history there. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with it, but I know the Democrats were behind it. One of the main reasons the Democrats were behind the Jim Crow is to stop African-Americans from voting, you know, and KKK, founded by the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party. These are all things that are very harmful to the black community.
Yeah. So the Democrats claim that that their antagonism toward voter ID is actually to save the Black community, because the Black community apparently is unable to get voter IDs adequately.
Yes, I have people. I have people in my film who are Black saying, you know, do they think we're really that stupid? This is degrading.
The answer to that is yes, they do. Go ahead.
I guess they do. Yeah. One of them says, he's like, frankly, I don't know a Black person that doesn't have an ID, you know? So everything goes back to the race thing. Everything goes back to the boogeyman of the racist. Everything goes back to the Republicans are the bad ones. And, you know, they're really manipulating the voting systems. There are just dubious things going on in the Democratic Party. You know, I don't have to tell you.
Right. To put it nicely, dubious things. And it seems to be geared in large part toward the Black community. Are you saying that the Democrats are motivated by racism?
Yes, in a way. Yes. Well, here's the thing. Back in the 50s, 60s, it was mostly just pulling the wool over the eyes of the Black community and using the Black community. But now they've expanded and they're using it on everyone. Like I said, if you look at history, the ones that were the racists were the Democrats, you know, and Joe Biden acting like he's best friends with the Black people. Now, you know, I have one of my interviewees. She's awesome. Her name is Laverne Spicer. She goes, you know, and, you know, Biden was a big part of the 1994 crime bill. And she's like, so now Black people are supposed to expect like you're our best friends right now. You know, I'm not buying that. Right. So it is. You shouldn't buy it. He's not your best friend. He's not the friend of the people.
Interesting is that Kamala Harris said that she did believe that he was, I think she said she did believe he was racist, and his policies certainly were racist. The busing policies and such. And then she also went on record saying that she thought that he was a sexual abuser. So I wish somebody would ask her what it's like to work in the same, you know, building as a racist sex abuser.
Exactly. Well, we would ask her if we could find her. You know, she seems to be out cackling all over the world. And, you know, in my film, I actually put a piece of her when she was speaking about, I guess it was Washington's birthday. I'm not sure, but just explaining how the explorers came here and that we were bad and we spread disease and killed people, you know, ignoring all the good things that came out of things. And, you know, as far as slavery, I mean, it was a terrible thing. All the nations were doing it. We rose up against it and knew it was wrong. Lincoln, a Republican, rose up against it and gathered forces and had a war over it in its own country, a war against itself to stop it. That was a Republican that rose up, saw that it was wrong.
That's right. That was the first Republican. In fact, the Republican Party was founded on the idea of abolishing slavery. That was the founding ideal of the Republican Party. So it's just a constant annoyance to me that we've lost that history, it seems, and now we believe that somehow the Republicans have always been the party of the KKK, which of course nothing is farther from the truth. So, all right. So tell me about the film. It's available for a short time now up at your website for people who want to pay a small amount to watch the film sort of in previews, if you will.
Right.
Where else can people see it? And what are the plans?
Right. So the website is, forgot to tell them, Sam, just kidding. The website is systematicdeceptionmovie.com. Trust me, I remember to say that. It's systematicdeceptionmovie.com. And for a small donation, you could watch the full feature film. It's about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm leaving it up for right now to kind of recoup some of the money I put into to making the film. But of course, it's only going to be up for a short time. Of course, if I find a distributor, I have to take it down right away. So I'm kind of on the verge of that.
We are working on that. So full disclosure, yes. I came in as a producer on the film. I think I'm an executive producer.
Yes.
And so Frank and I are partnered on this film. And so for a limited time, it's in previews just because Frank can't wait for people to see the film. And rightly so. He put a lot of work into it. He put a lot of his own money into it. I really have to applaud the efforts that you've made on behalf of what you believe. And I mean, this is a true American. This is somebody who stakes a claim for a belief and then goes out and does literally everything he can possibly do to further that cause. And it's always a cause of righteousness, which I fervently admire in you, Frank. So moving forward, we have some outlets that are considering taking the film for further distribution. So you will be seeing it eventually, maybe even at a theater near you. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
But for right now, go to systematicdeceptionmovie.com. And you can also go to Frank's website and just donate if you want at frankxpanico.com, right?
Well, yeah. Well, it's xesinthesky.films.com, but they all connect to the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just must say, because you won't say it yourself, the film couldn't have been done without Sam and Kevin Sorbo. They believed.
But I'm white.
Don't tell anybody. Oh, no, don't tell anyone. But it couldn't have been done. They were, without getting into details, it couldn't have been done, especially so fast, without Sam and Kevin helping me and supporting me. And Sam is awesome. She's like the same age as me. She's kind of like my sister, but she's always watching out for me and telling people. You're selling yourself short, Frank.
I'm much younger than you are.
Yes, yes. Kind of like
learned nothing?
Kind of like my little sister. So I will tell people how old I am so they know how old you are. I will do that.
They will not know how old I am because I am tremendously younger than you. Anyway, all right. So Frank Panico, Frank X Panico, X is in the Sky Film and Systematic Deception Movie.com. And thank you so much for coming on the Sam Sorbo Show. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.